Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we read selected verses beginning at verse 1. I always like to give a little extra introduction when we're reading out of Ecclesiastes. Some of the terms I've always felt have not been best translated. For instance, you'll hear the phrase "vanity of vanities." The Hebrew word actually means smoke, wind, or vapor. It's something that you just can't really get your hands around. And then there's also the repeated use of the phrase "under the sun." And that's in the book of Ecclesiastes. When you hear that term "under the sun," it's when the preacher, who was Solomon, is looking at life not from the perspective of God and eternity, but looking at life just from the perspective of this world. So with that, we read the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 1 and 2. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under the sun. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. It's found on page 1261, and we read verses 1 through 11. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In those you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1114 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 12, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and in particular, these verses. Someone in the crowd has said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" This is our text. What is your place in life? What is everybody else's place in life? If you don't know a man by the name of LeBron James, he's probably one of the best basketball players on the planet. Now, I don't know if he's number one, two, three, four, or five, but he's up there. So suppose he was in town signing autographs, and I go over to him and I say, "LeBron, you need to come to my house and teach my grandson how to shoot a basketball." Do you think he'd come? Of course not. That's not his place. On one of the 16 million political commercials I've seen in the last week, there's one guy that's running for president who's apparently been a very good investment broker. He started an investment business so many years ago, and it's now worth billions and billions of dollars. So suppose he came to town. He probably will someday. And I was in the crowd observing him and said to him, "You need to come to my house and teach my children how to invest their money." Do you think he'd come? Oh, no. That wouldn't be his place. You know, we recognize that different people have different, if you will, places that they serve in life. They may be very good at what they're doing, but their place isn't to do it for us. Interestingly, in our gospel lesson for today, God, in the person of Jesus Christ, makes it known to someone that he also has a place. Now, make no mistake, God is responsible for everything ultimately. And God can do all things without anybody's help. But God chooses to make himself known in certain places, in certain ways. If you want to know the grace and the mercy and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, don't climb up to a mountaintop and just sit and wonder. He's made himself known, particularly with his grace, in very specific places. We find his grace in only word and sacrament. And if you seek to know God in someplace else, while he could make himself known there, he doesn't. We know that God could feed the world with just a word. He gave proof of that through Jesus, when he fed the 5,000 on one occasion and fed the 4,000 on another. With just a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish. But if you were, say, to God sitting at your supper table, "Lord, feed me," he'd say to you, "Well, get up, go to your refrigerator and get something out of it." "But I've got nothing in my refrigerator, Lord." "Well, go to the store and buy something." It is still God doing his work. But God works through means. He is to be found, but he makes himself known in different ways, in different places. Would Jesus have been the perfect person to decide this issue for this man who was having a problem with his brother? Well, yes. Jesus' decision would have been perfect. But that's not how he chooses to work among us. God makes himself known in different ways and in different places. One of the most important things to understand about how life works is to respect those places and ways in which God works. If you don't have the right and authority from God to tell someone what to do with their life, don't tell them. You can encourage. You can share. But you can't order. And if you do, you're going to get yourself in trouble. We need to respect the places in which God has put us in life. Now, one more word or illustration, if you will, about places. So suppose your place in life was that you owed a hospital bill of about $100,000. And some generous individual came along and had mercy on you. And they had wealth beyond belief. And they said, "Here, let me write a check. You owe $100,000? I'm going to give you 120. But I want you to pay off your hospital bill and then go help some other people with the extra 20. What's your place? What's your responsibility with what you've been blessed? And so what you do is you go down to McGrath's Chevrolet and you buy yourself a brand new spanking Cadillac with every bell and whistle. And oh, by the way, it only cost $120,000. Would that be your place? We all know the answer to that. But to a certain degree, that's the type of situation that Jesus then went on to describe in our gospel lesson for today. And he told him a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. The man was blessed beyond his capacity to contain all those blessings. So what did he do with all those blessings that he had?" He said, "I need bigger barns." And he spends a great deal of time and energy and perhaps money as well, building those bigger barns so that he can contain all the overflowing blessings that he has received in his life. He works night and day. He doesn't relax a bit. But he finally gets the job done. And then he says, "Now I'm going to relax and enjoy it." And that night the Lord requires his soul. And though he had received in his life more blessings than he could possibly contain, never enjoyed any of them. Nor did he use them to bless anybody else. What is our place in life? Well, to begin with, we were destined for death and eternal hell. That's the result of the sin which we live in. But God, when he saw our estate, knowing that there was no way we could dig ourselves out of the debt that we had accumulated in life, sent his Son of Jesus into this world to pay that debt for us. And our Lord didn't just have to give, if you will, a part of himself in order to redeem us from what we faced. He had to give of himself completely, to lay down his physical life, experiencing torture and suffer beyond the things that probably any of us will ever experience. But more than that, he experienced abandonment from friends and family, from the world that he was trying to save, and even abandonment by God, the Father himself. Literally, he suffered hell for our sakes. He gave it all for our sakes. And he did this just so that we could live with him and live the kind of life that he lived for us. That's what we have been given. But what have we done with the gift? What have we done with the time that God has given us to serve him on this earth? What have we done with the talents God has given to serve him with on this earth? And what have we done with the treasures that God has given us to serve Him here on this earth? When we have an abundance, do we think to ourselves, how can I use this to thank the God who redeemed me? Or do we simply say, well, how can I use this to further enrich myself? How can I use this to make my life more comfortable? You know, many times we're like that guy in the parable. We fail to remember what our place was and how we have gotten to the place where we are now at. Remembering your place in light of where God has put you by His own plan, and remembering what God wants you to do in that place. Are you a father, a mother, a grandparent, a child? Are you a worker, a manager? Are you a student, a teacher? No matter where God has put you on this earth, He has a plan for your life. We owe Him nothing in one sense. The free gift of salvation and all the blessings that He gives us to support our body and our life, clothing, shoes, meat, drink, house, home, wife, children, fields, cattle, and all our goods, as Luther used to say it. That all comes from God, but not so that we in this place called earth can just use it to satisfy our desire for more, satisfy our desire that one day we can finally relax and just enjoy life on this earth. God does want us to have joy, but to find it in what He has already given to us, using it to serve Him in His kingdom. We have a place in life where God wants us to serve Him. Let us recognize that place and serve Him with all that we have. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.